the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Hi, everyone. I'm Josh Nunn.
And I am Aaron Wiedman.
And today we're talking about 401ks, but more specifically, we're talking about what to do if you have been recently laid off or if you parted ways with your former employer. In fact, this is all too common of a thing that we see in our line of work. In fact, there's a statistic about 40% of people will be laid off or may be terminated from their job at some point during their life. So today we're going to talk about, you know, you might have a 401k plan. What do you do when you're no longer working with that former employer? You know, you have a chunk of money that you've been saving, you've been deferring savings from your paycheck into that 401k. What are kind of some of your options and what are some things to consider when that event does happen to you?
Yeah, Josh, I would say even in the last couple of years, you wind up seeing a lot of those layoffs happening right now in the headlines. But in the last few years, as people have been moving around, there's been a lot of job movement. And so people may realize that they have this old 401k sitting there from one, two or three jobs ago that they don't know necessarily what to do with. So I guess like the most obvious thing as you're assessing what your 401k looks like is how much money is in there, right? So are we talking about a few $100s? Are we talking about a few $1,000s? Or are we talking about $500,000? So, you know, there's different options. And I guess when you look at what 401k administrators try to do with smaller balances, so say it's like less than $5,000, typically they would wind up trying to force that money out there and have you take that rollover because they don't necessarily want to do all the administration and the tax forms and the statements and all those kinds of things. So it's a little bit onerous on them. And then if it winds up being less than $1,000, you might be surprised if they wind up just cutting you a check, right? So they're going to have their different thresholds as far as like what the balance might be. But I guess the whole idea of us talking about this today is to see what your options might be going forward. The other thing that you need to realize as you look at that balance is quite simply, did I do those contributions pre-tax? So I basically avoided taxes as I wind up putting the money in and it's growing tax deferred for me. At some point in time, it's going to be taxable. Or did I do that in the Roth account? You know, so I paid taxes initially, and then I won't have to pay taxes again as long as I play by those rules. So you don't want to commingle those kinds of things, right? So that's certainly something to pay attention to. So
right. I guess to tack on to that, and another thing that you may want to consider with a 401k from a previous employer is the vesting. You know, how much of those funds are actually vested? So when we talk about vesting, we're talking about ownership. How much of those funds can you take with you? We're really talking about employer contributions. So there's an important distinction to know here that if you have your own employee contributions that you've made while you're working for the company, those are always going to be 100% vested to you. So you don't have to worry about not being able to get any access to those funds. You will have to worry about, you know, how much is vested from employer contributions or from profit sharing contributions. And so that's also going to depend on how long you've worked for the company, right? So different defined contribution plans are going to have different vesting periods. So, you know, an employer may say, you know, over a course of a 3-year time period, you know, you're going to have a percentage of those employer contributions that you receive that get vested to you each year. So depending on how long you've worked for the company, you're going to want to look and investigate to see how much of your employer contributions have vested to you as well, kind of as part of that assessment. So, you know, now that you know how much money is in there, you also know how much money of my 401k is actually vested to me. What will I have access to? What's maybe another thing to assess?
No, and I guess I'd like to tack onto that too, is if you're thinking to yourself that maybe I want to wait an extra few months until that extra 20% winds up being vested to me, if I have the option of leaving. You know, if you don't have that option, I guess the vesting is the vesting. But if you have the option and it winds up being worthwhile, it might be in your best interest to just wait those couple of extra months for that extra vesting.
100%. And, you know, not to go too deep into the weeds, there are certain types of vesting schedules. I mean, some are going to be more generous than others. Most employers might have a, you know, what we call a 3-year vesting cliff. So, you know, none of it gets vested in the first 2 years, but on the third year, everything vests that is employer contributed. And then you might have, you know, more of a less generous vesting schedule, which could look like something like a 2 to 6 year graduated vesting schedule, where over time, you know, you might get 20% of those employer contributions vesting each year that you remain with that employer. So something to keep in mind, it's something to research, that if you have left your former employer, you did have some profit sharing contributions in there, double check to see what kind of vesting schedule your employer had set up for that actual plan.
Yeah, because if it's that 3 year cliff, don't pull the trigger at 2 years and 11 months.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the other thing to think about is, do I have a loan outstanding? You know, one of the nice parts about having a 401k is that you can actually loan yourself some money from that 401k plan. So there are limits to that kind of a thing. But if you are leaving said company and you do have a 401k loan outstanding, you probably need to pay it back in a pretty short period of time. So if you're leaving, and I guess generally they wind up giving you about 60 days to pay that loan back. Now, if you don't pay that loan back, what are your options? Well, there's not really, from an option standpoint, well, you can't necessarily roll something over with an outstanding loan. It's going to be deemed as a distribution, or like that offset of that outstanding loan. It's probably going to be a taxable income to you. Plus, if you're less than 59 and a half, they're probably going to tack on an extra 10% as far as the penalty is concerned. So there are some stipulations on that. If it's in the same tax year, you might be able to, you know, depending on a new 401k plan, if you have, you know, a new 401k plan to roll it into, you might be able to roll whatever that outstanding loan amount is, but it's going to have to come cash, like out of your pocket, right? You, they might allow you to actually roll that loan, or like what that that offset might be, roll that into the new plan, but you have to do that within the current tax year. And you probably want to check with the plan first to see if that even is an option for you. So right, that winds up getting a little bit sticky, but just in general, if you have a loan outstanding, you have to pay it back within 60 days, or it's probably going to be a tax ordinary income to you.
Right. Probably not a good idea to pay taxes if you don't need to.
No, I generally want to avoid that.
Yeah. Another consideration that is really significant, and this will mostly affect people that maybe work for publicly traded companies, determine if you have company stock within your 401k. Now, where we're going with this, there are some tax strategies that you can utilize to help save you on the tax side of things, paying a lot of unnecessary taxes if you do have employer stock within a 401k plan. So one of the more popular strategies is what we call an NUA, or a net unrealized appreciation tax treatment to stock that you might have in a 401k. So the way it works is basically, you know, you're allowed to take a distribution if you are no longer working with the employer, and say you have, you know, $500,000 of stock that's been accumulating in that 401k over the course of your career. You can do what's called an NUA, which allows you to take the cost basis out of that and pay ordinary income taxes on the cost basis of whatever comes out. So that stock will come out of the 401k as a distribution. It's not taxed to you as ordinary income. You only pay ordinary income on the cost basis. So all of the growth and the appreciation over those years that you've worked with the company gets deferred into the future, at whichever point you decide to sell all of that stock. So it's really one large transaction. There's a distribution, you take the employer stock out of the 401k, goes into a brokerage account, and you're only taxed in that year of the distribution, again, on the cost basis. So why this is very effective is that allows you to save on, say the employer stock is worth $500,000 and your cost basis was only $100,000. Well, rather than paying ordinary income on $500,000 in 1 year, you might only have to pay $100,000 on your original cost basis. So why this is nice is you can defer those gains in the future, and you're only going to have to pay long-term capital gains regardless of when you sell it. So that's the beauty about the NUA.
Yeah, the other thing is that, you know, if you're less than 59 and a half, you're probably going to have to pay some, like a potential 10% penalty too.
Right.
So... but I mean, like a very advantageous. So you got to kind of like figure whatever your cost basis is and see if that winds up making sense for you. Because if you're quick to just roll it over, you lose that ability to do that whole NUA transaction, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And this is going to be really impactful for, again, people that maybe have worked for publicly traded companies for long periods of time, especially when you consider, you know, maybe some companies that have had some pretty fair stock price over the last, you know, or some pretty fair stock performance rather over the last 20 years or so. So, you know, we've worked with a couple of clients that have, you know, worked for large S&P 500 companies like Exxon or, you know, Microsoft. And, you know, if you look at those stocks over the course of 20 years, there's certainly a lot of appreciation. So this NUA strategy is a really helpful tax tool to help you save on some taxes when you make those distributions from 401k specifically.
Okay, well, good. The last thing, but also one of the more important things, is just kind of understand what your fees and expenses and also what your investment options are inside of the plan that you have right now, which is something that you should be doing on a regular basis anyways. But, you know, see what you are getting charged, because, you know, different 401k plans have different internal expenses that are getting applied to you as the employee. So if you wind up seeing, you know, some of those wind up being rather expensive. And so if you have the option to move that to a place where it winds up being less expensive for you, you know, maybe that's something that you wind up considering, you know. And then the fund options that are there, you're going to be beholden to whatever the fund options are within the 401k. So that might be a lot. It might be very few. You might have brokerage options. So that's certainly something that you want to keep in mind as you wind up thinking in the long term, what's the best type of portfolio for me as an employee or, you know, as an investor in general.
Certainly. And I think it's really important what you mentioned to analyze the investment options that you have available, because most 401k platforms may not have a self-directed option where you can go in, you know, and buy ETFs or individual stocks or that sort of thing. Specifically, also, if you're in like a 403b, you'll only have access to a select number of funds. We call it, like, you know, a fund universe. And normally a lot of plan fund universes will be very limited in those investment options. So that is something to weigh and assess, is if you plan on keeping the 401k where it is, you know, make sure that you're aware of what investment options you have, because you may be limited. You know, some 401k plans may only offer target date funds. You know, and those are going to be somewhat limiting in what types of investments you can actually make. You know, others, you know, like the TSP program may only have 5 funds to choose from. So it's very important that you're kind of aware of what those investment options are. And Aaron, at this point, we've talked about kind of how to assess your 401k if you've recently been laid off or if you've terminated, you know, if you've been terminated from your current employer. What are some options when you have that 401k and you're kind of wondering what to do with it?
Well, let's talk about like the most obvious and I guess simple one that a lot of people wind up taking advantage of, and that is just keeping it where it is. Keep it where it is. I'm not going to do anything with it. But when you wind up looking at that type of a methodology or strategy, well, there's some pros and cons of that, right? So, Josh, I mean, we'd already talked about just making sure, like assessing the investments inside of the plan and making sure that it's doing what you want it to do, right? So the options are good. You're comfortable with it. You know, looking at the fees, that's appropriate. You know, do they have the brokerage options that give you like more of a, you know, universe of investment options? But I mean, for you, you need to make sure that if it is with a former employer, that you are actually tracking that over time, right? So there was an interesting statistic that I came across, and it was from Bankrate. They did this study in 2021. They estimate that there are 25 million lost 401k accounts out there.
Oh my goodness.
Which accounts to about $1.35 trillion in assets. That is a lot of money for people who just kind of lost track of that old 401k because they had it 15 years ago. And, you know, maybe it was a small balance. They didn't really pay that much attention to it. So like this is one of those things that if you do wind up keeping it at your old 401k, your old employer, just understand that you need to actually keep up with that stuff. And along with that, if you are going to keep it there, when things change in your life, make sure that you are actually updating your beneficiaries. You know, you've seen it so many times where maybe there's a divorce or a death or something like that, and the beneficiary updates don't wind up taking place. So inherently, you wind up giving money to the wrong people. that you were not intending to actually give money to if something happens to you. So keep on top of that if you do wind up, you know, staying with the old plan. I guess the other part of that winds up being that you're going to have to deal with the old management, right? Maybe there was a reason why you left that employer. And now as you're continuing on by keeping that plan there, at some point in time, you're going to probably need to either take money out of that because you are retired, or you're going to roll it over later on down the road. So some of those places, some of those custodians, some of those administrators might be easier to deal with than others, maybe depending on the size of the plan and so on. But just understand what it is that you're dealing with. You may be completely happy with the fund options and it makes a whole lot of sense, but just kind of understand what those pros and cons are before you just wind up keeping it at the current 401k. So Josh, I guess like what would option two number be?
Well, option two, if you are in the job market and you do end up landing a new position, you can certainly always roll the 401k, your old 401k into your new 401k plan if your employer offers that. So you don't necessarily have to keep it at the old 401k program. You can certainly roll that into a new one if they have that option. Now, I guess some things to consider would be, you know, for example, the investment lineup. You know, if you have a new 401k plan and it is a little bit more robust, make sure that you're weighing the investment options that you're going to be receiving. Make sure that you're also keeping track of, you know, fees. There might be some internal expense ratios on some of those funds that are available to you, as well as, you know, any other fees you might not be aware of. Just want to make sure that you know exactly what all the options are with the new 401k plan, you know, that you're going to be offered at a new employer. I guess the other thing to keep in mind too is, you know, does the new employer, do they offer any kind of, you know, backdoor Roth conversion privileges or any other types of nuances within the 401k program? Because some 401ks, you know, for simplicity and for low cost, you know, they may just give you kind of the bare bones features, which would really just include, you know, your typical employee contributions up to those IRS limits. But if you, you know, are under a new 401k plan that is a little bit more robust and within the plan documents, you know, they allow for other types of nuances to be able to do, you know, in plan conversions or like we mentioned earlier, you know, backdoor Roth, mega backdoor Roth contributions. Those are things to also weigh if you're trying to decide whether to keep it at the former employer plan or to roll that into the new 401k plan. Are there any other things, Aaron, on that option two that I might be missing?
You know, I guess, you know, before you even get into like the nuances of those like specialty things, it's even the, you know, quite simply, if I did Roth contributions in my old plan, does my new plan allow Roth contributions? Because I can't transfer money from Roth to a pre-tax plan, right? So you have to make sure that whatever it is that you're transferring goes from pre-tax to pre-tax and Roth to Roth.
Absolutely.
Right. So there are like those kinds of stipulations. The other thing is just make sure if you are going to be doing that, like you're working with the custodians and you're doing it directly between the custodians, because you don't want to fumble the ball, take a check. And if you do wind up taking a check, they're going to withhold 20% from whatever that rollover is. And you only have 60 days to actually roll it into the new plan before you have to pay taxes on the whole thing and potentially pay 10 penalties if you're under 59 and a half. So it's much easier to do that from one custodian to another. It's a direct rollover. You don't actually take any sort of custody of that, and you make sure you're fine. You know, the other thing is like we were talking about before, do you have the loans paid off? You know, what are the stipulations of that? What are the consequences?
I think that's an important nuance because, you know, some HR offices will specify directly like on the form, you know, when you're filling out that paperwork. You certainly want to make sure if you are wanting to do a direct rollover that it is a trustee to trustee transfer. Yep. You want to look for that kind of a language so that you're avoiding any types of mandatory tax withholdings that may be unexpected. If you're having, you know, if you're saying to your former, you know, 401k provider, yeah, just send me the check, you know, can send it to my address of record and I will deposit it with my new 401k provider. You know, that's not what you want to do because that it will not fall under that trustee to trustee transaction. So you certainly want to make sure that it's not being paid to you directly.
Have that check that made to the custodian. Yeah,
exactly right. Yep, exactly right. Kind of an important nuance. I feel like a lot of people don't really understand.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, the other part is that if you can keep it inside of a 401k, there are a couple of benefits with that, right? So, I mean, you can still take 401k loans if you need them, right?
Certainly.
401ks, there is that age 55 rule. So if you do want to take some early withdrawals pre 59 and a half, 401ks have that rule so that that allows that. You don't have to pay that penalty on top of it, right?
Right.
The other thing is that it has more creditor protection. So 401ks are creditor protected by the ERISA laws that wind up going in there. Whereas IRAs, those are actually just state protected, and it's kind of like state by state laws.
And of course, IRAs as well do not allow you to take loans
right
out of a plan. So you know, if you've used the loan capabilities within 401ks, you certainly lose that when you roll it over to an IRA. And we are sort of getting ahead of ourselves, but that is option three. So Aaron, do you want to talk about kind of what option three is?
Sure.
If you do have a former 401k that you're kind of wondering what to do with.
Yeah. So we prefaced that, I guess, a little bit, but you know, that would be rolling those funds over to an IRA itself, right? So if you are following the rules and in the same light as, you know, as far as like the 401k plans, we wind up doing it from custodian to custodian, and you're not taking it, you know, you're not taking those funds in a check in your name itself. There's no taxes due, right? It's the same pre-tax to pre-tax or Roth to Roth kind of a rollover, a transfer per se, right? So what's nice is if you do wind up putting that money into an IRA, you can take some Roth conversions from there if that's like a strategy that you want to employ. So you could convert that, you know, whereas like inside of a 401k, you'd have to see if they allow that kind of a thing, right? So if that's a strategy that you want to employ, the IRA is wind up allowing you to do that.
Right.
Now, if you do have it in an IRA, you also, if you're still working, you know, now with Secure Act 2.0, you know, now you have to take those RMDs at age 73, as opposed to what it was 72, depending on, you know, what age and what year you were born. But the idea is that if you have it inside of a 401k, you don't necessarily have to take those distributions right away. Like you can kind of postpone those, the money that's inside of the 401k, you can postpone those RMDs until you're done working. You have to take them out of the IRA, right? So any IRA money, you actually have to take the RMDs from that. Right. The other thing you had mentioned before, no loans are available. And instead of the 401k where you have that 55 rule, well, now at you can't necessarily take any money out of this until 59 and a half without any sort of penalties. And kind of like we said before, there is just, you know, state by state creditor protection as opposed to the 401k, which has like that federal ERISA creditor protection, which is a little bit more enhanced. The other thing, we were talking about that Roth conversion idea. So part of like moving it into an IRA versus keeping the money in the 401k is that a lot of times we talk about this backdoor Roth thing, right? And if you do have all of your money inside of a 401k, that does actually make it a little bit easier as far as doing the backdoor Roth. If that's like during your working years, if that's a strategy that you want to employ. Because if you do that, you kind of have to take into consideration all of your IRA money as like a total conversion of that whole amount. So the lesser the IRA, the more tax efficient it winds up being if you have it in the 401k.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And then of course, you know, in an IRA too, you're going to have a much more significant available, you know, list of investment options within a 401k. If it's just in a standard brokerage platform, or, you know, you're with an online brokerage company, you're certainly going to have pretty much no limitations to what investment options you can have that are over the counter.
Yeah. I would say that probably winds up being one of the biggest reasons why people wind up moving money from a 401k to a Roth IRA, is it kind of like opens up their investment world a little bit more, right? Then of course, what would be the fourth and probably the least popular from a financial advisor standpoint?
Well, you can always cash out the 401k, and this is probably the option we see happen the least, but it is still an option. If you're in a tight cash crunch or you need liquidity, you can certainly always cash out that 401k. Just take the distribution, take the hit on the taxes in that current year. You know, you will have to pay all of that as ordinary income. And if you do it before, of course, you know, the 55, the year 55, that you turn 55, you know, you will have to pay that penalty, 10% on that distribution. So that's something to consider. If you are in a cash crunch, you know, take that tax hit up front, but then it's just brokerage money for you. So if you, you know, are looking to, you know, potentially put a down payment on a second property, or you just need cash for whatever the case may be, and you need it now, that's an option for you to consider.
But I guess, I mean, on the flip side, you are giving up all that tax advantage growth, right?
Correct.
You know, so that's pretty big. I mean, if you're talking about over time, what kind of advantage that winds up having over a taxable account, that's pretty substantial. And then the other thing is, you know, if we're getting down to needing to take our 401k money as emergency funds, the importance of an emergency fund is pretty dramatic. Right. So if you are in that kind of a situation, we don't necessarily want our clients to have to take money from their 401k to be able to, you know, get through the tough times. So importance of putting together a solid financial plan and just making sure that you have that emergency fund, 6 months of expenses and things like that, so that you don't have to necessarily do that and dip into those investments that you had worked so hard to actually build.
Certainly. And I guess just to kind of put a small example as a bookend on that option four, you know, of cashing it out, if you do happen to find that option interesting, it's and say that you're in between jobs, you know, you might be able to do it creatively where, you know, maybe if you are in between jobs, you know, you can do it in a year where your income significantly drops because you're still no longer employed or you haven't found a job yet. You know, if you happen to find a time window to be able to do that, it's not an evil option to just take a distribution, especially if your tax rate is much lower.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I guess that does like bode the importance, because I would rather if someone is in a lower tax bracket in that year that they just wind up doing the Roth conversion.
Oh, certainly.
So if I convert it, then I don't have to pay it if they are in a liquidity crunch. But I guess that does wind up like boding the importance of having an emergency fund.
Certainly. Absolutely.
Because we are paying taxes and the 10% penalty on top of that.
Exactly.
There you go. A little bit of banter back and forth.
That's good. No, that's good.
Yeah. And I would say if you're looking at, in the grand scheme of things, like all these options are available, they're on the table. But, you know, one of the things that we as advisors wind up seeing a lot of times is that there's not a whole lot of thought going into the investment process for these funds. So whether that winds up being in an old 401k, a new 401k, you know, maybe it is like an old IRA that you have out there, is just trying to look at the investments that you have in there, looking at the allocation. Are we taking too much risk? Are we taking too little risk? You know, what's my time horizon? It's all of those kind of questions that get probably not enough attention. And so you're just kind of riding the wave and you don't really know what's going on in there. Right. I mean, there's been many a times that I've seen younger clients in their 401k have that with an, you know, an old employer, and it's just been sitting in cash for the last 7 years. And all of the upside potential that like could have been taken advantage of, but it had just been sitting in cash. So these are things that we need to pay attention to. And so if you do have questions about an old 401k, a current 401k, how you wind up having those things invested, what your options are for consolidating those things or not consolidating those things. And you have questions for Josh and I about that. How can someone best get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, there's always my email, which is josh.nunn@financialsense.com. And then there's my direct line, 858-217-8137, 858-217-8137. We certainly deal with this all the time. In fact, I have a lot of clients that reach out to me, you know, for 401k investment advice. You know, they want to know if they're properly allocated. You know, is my risk tolerance matching my allocation? You know, I feel like that's a common question that a lot of clients have who are still in their working years or maybe even just getting started in their career. You know, 401ks are a great tax deferral savings vehicle that allow you to save a lot of money and hopefully grow a lot of those savings, you know, for a long period of time. So, you know, all the more reason to make sure that your investment allocation is aligned with, you know, that longer time horizon in mind, as well as making sure that, you know, you're invested properly to benefit from, you know, what investment returns tend to do over long periods of time like this.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to reach you, Aaron, to talk more about this, how could they reach you?
Well, certainly they can get a hold of me on my direct line, and that would be 858-217-8135, or just email me, aaron.wiegman@financialsense.com.
Cool. Very good.
Well, thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully that was educational. Hopefully we didn't get too far into the weeds, but as you can see, it's not just as simple as just rolling over that 401k into the next plan or rolling it into the IRA. There are some nuances to that kind of thing that we do want you to be aware of. And if you need our help, just let us know.
With that in mind, we're out of time. Until we talk next, we hope you have a great week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.